Pastor Mike Kelly teaches on how we should regard leaders in the church using Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17.
I can't believe it's Sunday again. I really can't. It's just the weeks are flying. I know I say that sometimes, but it's rather shocking how quick the time's going. And I know pastorally there's an urgency personally as I think about how best to spend the rest of the days. And I'm not being maudlin or anything at all like that. But there's only so much time. There's only so many things we can involve ourselves with, things to do. And we need to be careful how we spend that time, because it just sprouts wings and flies away this time. And then we're gathered into the everlasting day. That will be sweeter than this day. But we need to be careful how we spend this day. And I'm glad you determined to spend it here today with the gathered saints. So with no further ado, turn please in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll be talking about leaders in the church, church leadership. It's really providentially hilarious this morning. In the Sunday school hour, our likely next future officer that we will vote on today, our dear brother Jim Mechanic, taught from 1 Timothy 3. Go figure. And he went through all the qualifications of elders and deacons. I'm sure that was a rather convicting time he spent teaching us. And then this morning, as we've worked through Hebrews, we bring ourselves to this church leadership text. So this is all coincidental in God's good design and most fitting. Recall last time in Hebrews, we covered the topic of confidence that was properly placed. And we looked at the temporal nature of money, its emptiness, and that of the materialism it can secure for us. We beat the drum long and loud about how you can't take it with you, the things of this life. They do not go on to glory. We had an emphasis on the need to find contentment in the variety of blessings that the Lord has currently provided us, that we already have in our possession. They're near infinite when we really consider God's gifts. So many things. We close with an admonition to be sure to place our trust in God alone and in His Christ, knowing that only God has the power to secure us to Himself and to take us to be with Himself. And it is His stated desire in His Word to faithfully carry us through each and every one of life's difficulties. And we shall be gathered, dear ones. We shall be gathered. There is a place at the table for us in glory. So prepare your heart for the foretaste even of that today. So I think a regular review of such teachings and truth topics does much to benefit our souls. Incredible benefits are produced. And so this morning, the new topic as we march through Hebrews, almost done with Hebrews, is leadership, specifically leadership in Christ's church. Again, perfect timing. As a church leader, my desire is to handle this text with balance and with accuracy. I've seen texts like these abused in an egregious, self-serving manner, and I do not desire to be numbered amongst that group. I've seen these truths inaccurately taught by men at better times labeled tyrants and dictators as opposed to gracious shepherds and servants. These texts were proof texts to serve their authoritarian regimes. That is not our heart here as leaders, not at all. God has instituted leadership. It is good. But it needs to be handled in a serving, humble fashion. You who have been here for some time, you know that Jeff and I, as your pastors, and Dick and Bruce, and hopefully soon to be, very soon to be Jim, as your deacons, we are not petty tyrants who desire to boss you around and peer into your wallets. That is not our heart. Not at all. As officers, we are on the hook before God Himself to lead you by a consistent Christ-like example, and it scares us to death. It does. I know we're not always successful in that exampling, but you pray for us, and we are trying. You keep praying, and we will keep trying. If we failed any of you, please let us know so we can talk things out a bit and find some resolution. Okay, I mean that seriously, genuinely. We do not have high opinions of ourselves, but we have a very high view of our calling, as well as the scriptures that describe our calling. We think of these things very highly. And what we speak to you with regard to these issues of leadership, it will not be with a cultural backbeat, the fluff and nonsense of our current day. That is not helpful. That will not benefit or bless you. No, what we labor to speak, to teach, to preach to you are the guardrails and comforts of a sure word. It is a guardrail. It is a comfort. It is a source of blessing. When it talks about leadership, it is meant to be that same guardrail, comfort, and blessing. We fear the Lord. We want to do things correctly with the right heart and the right spirit. So with that, please take it in the spirit intended. I'm trying to wave a dear brother, Robert, to come in. You may come in. There's lots of seats here. Come on in. Some of us are called to shepherd others with the truth of the word. In God's great plan and mysterious calling, I'm one of those people. Others are called to be shepherded and yet be shepherders to others. Again, that is God's wise plan. Sometimes I'm still amazed that the Lord has called me to shepherd his people. It's always sobering and sometimes it's quite frightening. Yet the office carries with it, for me personally anyway, the strong backbeat of wonderful, that I can't believe I get to do such things, and I'm very thankful to have this opportunity. But it can get a bit prickly for the leaders as well as those who are led. And here's what I mean. Human nature enjoys being in charge, in control. We like to do things our own way. We enjoy our freedom. Our opinion seems to resonate best at first, second, and even third glance sometimes. Human nature does not usually enjoy being told what to do, especially so by other clay-feeded humans, even leaders in Christ's church. American culture defaults to the mindset of the independent. I'm sure that's because our roots are somewhat founded in rebellion against our mother country, and those tendrils are still here. Those roots are still robust and healthy. Probably never be fully eradicated. Yet I need to tell you, independent-mindedness is not always a very good thing. Its kissing first cousin is called pride. So we need to hold these things with care. Christ's church is not a democracy, nor is Christ's church an oppressive dictatorship. So I think there we find the balance. The church is to be led by men who are characterized by the following text, and if you want to follow along, you can. This is 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. This would be my opening salvo that I think just kind of hits in a good overview what a good leader should be and be about. It's a charge to pastors. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Again, 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. That hits it nicely, powerfully. The cultural axiom some of us grew up with does not apply in this sort of dynamic. Do as I say, not as I do. We don't embrace that. We reject that. In that 1 Peter text, the following is a response to these few verses I just read. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Call yourselves, all of you, I believe that is leader in the led, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Worthy of filing away. Permanent status. God does not like pride. I have been blessed. I have been encouraged. I have been corrected and rebuked many times in the past by my faithful church leaders of past seasons. They were 1 Peter 5 kind of guys, and I am grateful for them. And that happens even currently, too, in my current co-laborers, my 1 Peter 5 guys. My hope is that you will be blessed even more so by the leadership and its tenor here at Gateway. That is my desire. And it is Jeff's desire. It is the desire of the deacons. And I hope that the text before you this morning, while it can be a bit prickly, A bit provocative, perhaps, for some of you more independently minded ones. I hope it'll be easy to obey and pleasing and life-giving to your souls. That is our prayer. So in this text, we'll find a brief description of leaders and their ministry. There will be a call to consider the tone, quality, tenor of the leadership of those who were past involved in your lives, many of whom are no longer in the land of the living. And there will be an exhortation to heed, pay attention to those who are currently in your life. So I'd like to ask you to stand together in honor of God's words. Longer interview than normal. It will be a little briefer message today. I don't promise that, but it's likely. I'll read these two verses. Hopefully you'll be prepared to be blessed. Hebrews 13, verse 7 first. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Flipping over to the continuation of the theme in between other and additional content, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You may be seated. So our first point, dealing with verse 7, I've entitled Remember and Reflect. Let me read it one more time. Remember and Reflect. Text says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life. I'd like to begin with a quote from F.F. Bruce, who hits the nail solidly. He's speaking about the legacy of godly leaders. Quote, by precept and example, they, those leaders, showed the right path to tread. Being dead, they yet speak, and the record of their faith is still alive in the memory of those who knew them. In chapter 11, the faith of men and women of earlier generations is presented for emulation. But there is something in the vivid recollection of a life that we have seen which cannot be conveyed by a record that has come to us only by reading or hearing. See what he's saying? Skin time's better than just having read about someone. He continues, those who planted this community of Christians and fostered it by the ministry of the Word of God and the example of faith had run the race unwavering to the end. What they had done, their followers could also do. So it's a good example. In recent weeks and months, I've shared a little bit here and there about the four or five guys who had most significantly impacted me for Christ as I was a young man growing up in the faith. As you may recall, I got converted about age 23, 24, somewhere in there. I had a young family. And it began a process of five different individuals in different seasons of my Christian growth until recently, when the last one just passed, where they poured into me. And they showed me the ways of Christ. They taught me how to teach His Word. They taught me the ropes of gospel ministry. And I'm so grateful to them. I'd like to speak about them a little bit. I think about them frequently. I have sat many hours at their feet. Gene and I have some of them in common. I appreciate them more than words can express. Our unknown author of Hebrews this morning states it's something we should do often, that we should remember those who led us in the past. And then he's going to give us an exhortation to obey and submit to those who are currently leading us. But for now, the call in this opening verse is simply remember. So I'm going to talk about the guys I remember. And as I do that, I would encourage you to think about those men and women, those godly individuals, those stalwarts for Christ, who took you by the little hand when you were a noob, when you were a baby, and they held you close, and they put their arm around you sometime, and they opened up their home and their table, their life and their heart, and they poured into you the things of God. You think about these as I go through my own reminiscence. To help us to do that, let's remember the context. Remember those who spoke to us the Word of God. And There's a verb that's used there for remember that means to call back to mind that which you know about a person. Reflect, recall, muse, if you will. Think about deeply. This is what we're doing now, you and I together. It's an exercise to bless us. When I think of those dear brothers the Lord used to teach me the things of Christ, tears will come to my eyes. Indeed. I think much about the outcome of their way of life. In other words, the fruit of their lives, what they were about, the treasures of blessing in the lives of others, other lovers of Christ, how they duplicated themselves, how they gave themselves away. Oh, so sacrificially. I think about that outcome. I'm considering it. It means literally look at it again and again and again. Not just one quick fell swoop. Think about it. Let me ask you, what would be the summary statements that would describe and define those blessed leaders in your life? The things that they were about. What was the tenor, the tone, the results of those efforts? What were the traits that characterized those leaders that God blessed you with? You had some. For me, in my experience, they were the following. This is the tone and the tenor and the results. I watched them labor faithfully in God's Word. They read the book. They're the ones that taught me to keep your nose in the book, Mike. Often and regularly drink long and deeply. Be refreshed. Be made wise. Have the worldview that you need inculcated into your soul. Read the book. Nose in book. I remember observing the obvious love and respect, the high regard and esteem that those they ministered to accorded to them. People love these men because these men were about giving themselves away. They couldn't get enough time with them, couldn't say enough nice things. And yet those very same men, they always eschewed and they resisted any attempts to pedestalize or praise or flatter. They would have none of that. They'd give all the glory to God. It was not a false, affected humility. It was their genuine spirit. God has given me much. I am very grateful for what He's given me. I want to bless you too. That's ministry, dear ones. That's what real ministry is. If there's a young man in here who feels the beginning of a call to gospel ministry, let me tell you something. It's not about you. It's all about Christ. And it's His work in you. It's what He gives you, which, by the way, is every single thing that'll make you useful in your ministry. You may not take credit for it. You may not preen. You may not applaud yourself. You may not. You may not. And you have no right to whip or beat the sheep. They are solemn trust and charge at God and His marvelous sense of humor. If you really look into your heart, you know a marvelous sense of humor has allowed you such privilege to pastor Christ Church. Back to the men that I love who are gone with Christ now. I remember their ongoing sacrificial gifts of time. The late nights, early mornings, full days. Costly investments that continue to reap dividends in the souls of many. Still blessing me, their efforts. I remember their joy and excitement as they stood before their classrooms in Bible college and seminary and local churches. I remember how they answered the questions and defined and described deep points of theology, how they expounded the truth from their pulpits. This is what they wanted to do, and they loved it. It didn't just stop in the academics. There was time for coffee and a donut afterwards, Winchell's or something like that. A late breakfast at Denny's, talking about ministry. I remember the honor that was accorded them at their memorials. So many people laughing and crying as they recall the many good times spent together about those matters that indeed mattered. Really important things. They were gospel-centered men, lovers of people, loving even me. Some even shed tears as they entered into my sufferings in different seasons and helped to take me through as God's means. I remember their loving support, their willing ear, the open and faithful communication. I remember the wise counsel, counsel always saturated with the Word, always gently, wisely applied to the good of my soul. They were kind, hospitable, warm-hearted in giving, servants to all. Not lovers of money, freely sharing their time and resources. I am richly blessed by their lives and give praise to the Lord for allowing them the opportunity to teach and disciple, admonish, and yes, at times even rebuke me. I'm grateful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27:6. Dear saints at Gateway, leaders do that sometimes. Faithful leaders, having your interests, your best at heart, they will sometimes take the time to wound you. That is a process of sharpening. Another proverb says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Painful. Sparks and heat are produced. The agenda is Christ-likeness. The blessing is Christ-conformity. The goal is usefulness in this temporal sphere. And the final destination is in the presence of Christ. This is all part of the process of sanctification. Leaders beat you up sometimes. Leaders call you out sometimes. They have to. I've been called out more times than I care to admit publicly. I'm a slow learner. I'm serious. I've been faithfully wounded by my friends. So back to these guys who loved me and wounded me from time to time. The years went by. And the relationship changed, and I wasn't the disciplee before the discipler, the neophyte before the sages, the student before the master. As I too went into gospel ministry and began to learn a few things, and they became my partners and co-laborers in the greatest work any man could ever dream of being part of, just serving Christ and His church. So you've been musing all this time, right? Reflecting about those people in your life? I ask you to, have you had leaders in your life like that? I hope you have. I really do. If you have, you've been richly benefited. You've been blessed. You were blessed by their faith. You were blessed by their passion, by their love of Christ, one that was driven and enervated by their understanding what Christ had done for them already. And can I just give you a quick suggestion before we go to the next point? If they're not yet gone, drop them a line. Give them a call. Express some appreciation for their labors for the good of your soul before it's too late. And then be about for the rest of your life what the closing admonition of our first verse says, our second point, imitate. Tail end of verse 7. And imitate their faith. Yes, God has placed leaders in the church that all of us would profit spiritually. The greatest compliment you could pay a godly leader is to imitate their faith. Nothing will make them happier. They don't want your money, your time, your talent. They want to see Christ in you. That will please them above and beyond all other things. Those who proclaim the word should be carefully listened to. And those who are genuine, those who live that word they proclaim, they should be imitated. They should. Their lives are to be lived in keeping with the truth they proclaim. If they don't know that, they need to step back and do something else. Anything else. Anything else. Faithful leaders faithfully follow their Christ. And then and only then are they to be followed. Thus far and no more. And that was the teaching of the Apostle Paul. We looked at that verse this morning in 1 Corinthians 11. Where we read there, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Sounds prideful to say, imitate me. All my works and failings. No. Imitate me as I follow Jesus. Only that part of me do you imitate. Everything else, chalk it up to further work needed in sanctification. Chalk it up to just general human depravity. And the vestiges of that old man in Romans 7 is so clear about. But if you see anything in me that's of Christ, that's worthy of imitation, imitate that, Paul says. I say it too. Jeff says it. Our deacons will say that to you. Imitate their faith. Imitate Christ's work in them. I want to be like those faithful leaders from my own past that I just described to you. I'm hopeful that some of you will remember all of the Gateway officers in the same way as I so fondly remember the officers in my own past. It's not wrong to desire to be remembered in such a way. And when we say this desire, what are we really saying about such a remembrance? I want to be remembered like this. Mike was faithful to Christ. Mike was faithful to his word. To his example, Mike invested his life widely and wisely to the well-being of many. I want to be remembered like that. I want to be remembered in having done everything that I did do out of sincere gratitude for what Christ has already done for me. Don't you? As went the master, so go his servants, those who lead and those who are led, all of us on the hook to display faithfulness to the priorities of Jesus Christ, to his agendas. First and foremost of which is, he loved others more than himself. Always. He was a faithful leader. He gave his life. He served his own unto death. The lives of godly leaders are to manifest and exemplify the truths that they proclaim. If you can't make a good shot at it, get out. Do anything. Go away. Leaders in Christ's church are to have agendas driven by the realities of the life that is to come. They are not to be given over to the vanities of this passing world. Amen? Every believer should be there. The leaders are supposed to lead by example. Supposed to be infectious. Imperfectly done, yes. Nevertheless done in some measure and seen and worthy of emulation, I trust. All of which brings us to the third point. Leaders present. Leaders now. Me, Jeff, your deacons. Point is a bit provocative. May tweak some of you. Obey and submit. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. They're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Perhaps wording like follow and trust would be more helpful. Easier to digest for those of us more independently minded. Consider their suggestions, if you would. Sometimes consider their suggestions. If you don't mind, thank you very much. I guess that would be a bit more sensitive, more egalitarian for our modern day and culture. To which I'll tell you clearly and firmly, nonsense. The wording is stronger. It doesn't say follow and trust, although you should. But it says obey and submit. What does that mean? Well, this is going to seem very heavy-handed. Do what they say. Do what you're told. It's good for you. Do it even if you don't feel like it. It's not a suggestion. It's God's word. Do this and live. Do this and be blessed. Prosper. Obey and submit. Consider what's in play here. If you think I'm being too heavy-handed, I'm in a tyrant authority mode. You know I'm not, but consider what's in play here, what the potential consequences are. The text states that church leaders are, quote, keeping watch over your souls. You know what that makes me do? This. It makes me shake in my boots. Especially when you don't want to do what I ask you to do. Because everything I asked you to do was intended to help your soul. Best ways I could see to be helped. I get it wrong sometimes. So will Jeff. So your deacons. We're not infallible. There's recourse. There's redress. You can talk to us. Disagree about something. It's okay. Come talk to us. But we're keeping watch over your souls. We're trying to. If you'd let us. This church does a good job of letting us. This is not a rebuke. Veiled. Open. It's not. It's just reminders. Share some of these truths in some of the churches that don't pastor their people. Most don't. Sad. We watch over your soul. The real you. We're attempting to bind up and direct and guide your heart, your emotions, your insides, if you will, that real inner personage that's you. We want to bless you. It's not a self-serving activity. It's this soul that one day will stand before God Himself and give an account for the life that you just finished living. You'll plead the blood, and thanks be to God we can do that, and all will be well. But there is a sense of the tape being reviewed. I don't understand what that looks like. You know what I'm talking about? I don't really understand that. I know there's a bestowal of rewards and influence. There's different roles for us in glory. They're somehow predicated upon faithfulness in this life. It's not works-based. It's not like that. But we don't want you just to get the golden broom to sweep the pure gold streets. We want you to have more. Everything that's available. Consider us as your leaders, your faithful guides. Could I say this? Your cheerleaders in the faith. Care about you. We want you to thrive. We're your friends. Nobody probably cares for your soul more than we do. John Owen writes on the watch care of faithful leaders. Great words. Quote, the word watch care is unique to this place. And it denotes a watchfulness with the greatest care and diligence. Even if this involves trouble or danger. Jacob kept and watched the flocks of Laban at night. But these leaders literally keep watch over your souls. This summarizes the whole duty of the pastoral office. It is as if he had said, this work of these leaders is solely to take care of your souls. To keep them from evil, sin and backsliding. to instruct them and feed them, to encourage their obedience and faith, and so lead them safely to eternal rest. My job, Jeff's job, is to help you and ourselves safely get to heaven. That's what I'm all about here. And I'll tell you, yeah, indeed, there should be no trace of self-serving involving genuine biblical leadership. And yes, indeed, if it's true service and right service, it's rendered towards the blessing and protection of others. There is a bit of a big sharp stick that kind of pokes us as we do our ministry all along the way. It's that clause there. We'll give an account. I'm going to give an account for how good or how bad or how lukewarm a shepherd I've been to you. And that before the Lord on that great day of presentation. Sobering to me, as well it should be. And it should promote faithfulness and leadership. Leaders should always treat their charges with care and diligence because God requires it. He requires it. Now I'm going to step off script for just a sec. I trust the reason why you've come to a little bitty church in the middle of this mid-1950s neighborhood, in this archaic little place where they used to reserve real estate when they built homes to build a church. Can you imagine such a thing happening now in a new development? Oh, we're going to keep this $2 million piece of 1 acre property for a church. We're going to donate it to the community. Never going to happen because the times, they have changed. There are a lot of large churches out and about. Lots of energy, lots of activity. Sometimes not a lot of light. Not a lot of heat. And dear ones, I've been doing this for 30 years. I do this because of those large churches. That was the roots of me being part of smaller local churches. There's no shepherding. There's no leadership. There's almost no soul care in most of those places. There are exceptions. Definitely there are exceptions. I trust that you've come here because you want to be held accountable. Because you enjoy a certain level of spiritual cheerleading. I trust that you remain here because you trust what's taught. And you trust the emphasis. If you don't, you shouldn't be here. You should go. You should go if you don't. We want to shepherd you here. And so now I'm going to step on toes a little bit. If I call you on the phone, if Jeff calls you on the phone, would you please call back within the next day or two? I don't care what the culture does. I'm trying to talk to you because I care about you. I don't want a text. I want a phone call. I want to hear your voice in a timely fashion. Oh, I'm fussing now. I am. It's been a frustration here and there with certain of you. It's good to be shepherded. I've buried all my mentors. They're all gone. How I would long to get a phone call from the last one, Frank. Oh, hey, brother, what you doing? You want to go get some lunch? Oh, sure, let's get some lunch. Share life. Share the things of Christ. Anticipate glory together. Make course corrections as necessary as we await that time. Call us back when we call you. At least text back. At least I'll settle. Fair enough? We're trying to shepherd you. All right, I'm off. Wrapping up, almost done. Speaking as a leader in Christ's church, again, I mentioned probably near 30 years I've been a pastor. Not quite, almost. I can honestly tell you that when I find myself counseling someone who's strongly opposed to something that is just patently obvious in God's Word and His teaching, it really does scare me to death and make me very nervous about your position. And what my mind tends to do, I'm just giving you an insight in what shepherds feel when we have some of these discussions, and it's really here in black and white, and you're kind of giving me the gentle stiff arm, or the, I'm not so sure. And the reading is plain and clear. Here's where my heart goes. I'm not mad at you. I'm not threatened personally. I don't take it personally. I don't. But here's where my heart goes. And this is why godly leaders are good and why you need to heed their counsel. Because my heart goes here. And it runs ahead. And it considers the potential consequences, the damage and destruction. And this informed by 30 years of pastoral work and another 10, 15 years of very active lay work working with people before I was ordained. You see, when we've been doing this for a while, our minds go ahead and they go, if they don't take this counsel, this is very likely, based on strong, regular, consistent historical precedent, there will be damage done in your life, and heartache done in your life, and sorrow, and brokenness. We are not control freaks. We are bound by the Word of God. Some of you are playing with little things that you shouldn't be playing with. So be careful. Fight the good fight. Call us. Let us help you fight the good fight. We're willing and eager. Don't be strongly opposed to those things that the Scripture reveals is basic and clear. That terrifies me. Terrifies me for you. Sad reality at times is this, that sometimes people just want their sin. They don't really want to deal with it. They're not particularly interested in taking their leaders' attempts to care for their souls all that seriously. Please take it seriously. And if we look at the end of our text, this very brief section of Scripture together this morning, we can see how the sadness potential that I'm extrapolating off into the future can be avoided. Reading verse 17 once more. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. And here's the kicker, as those who have to give an account. Here's the kicker. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I'll be honest with you. I'm a pretty happy guy. And you can make me happier. You can bring me joy. That when we suggest to you things that God's Word says, you should really be considering this, is we propose potential correctives to conduct or thoughts or whatever it may be, do you at least seriously weigh it and pray it through before you say, nope, that will bring me joy. And if you can do that, I guarantee you will find advantage, great advantage. Let's pray. Father, all of us are called to submit to godly leadership. Your word says such submission brings blessing to all. And Father, your word also says that rejection of godly leadership, even a simple indifference to it, will bring many pitfalls and many dangers. Lord, we pray that you would continue to protect Gateway. I thank you, Father, it is a joy to serve here, that we do not groan as leaderships in this congregation. You have been kind to us and you have protected us. You have given us a high view of your word. And we have spoken your word this morning. We have spoken the consequences of heeding it or not of heeding it. And we pray that we would have the joy and the benefit of heeding it and not the groaning of having ignored it. And Father, we thank you for Christ, our great leader, our sinless leader, the greatest leader of all.
the giving leader, the humble leader, the sacrificed leader, the leader who takes our sin and gives us his perfect righteousness. Oh, Father, thank you for Christ. And we thank you for his current intercession for us now, even at your right hand. I pray that his pleasure be on all that is said and done here today. A beautiful, full Lord's Day. Thank you for it. Thank you for this church, the privilege we all have to serve her. Bless now this word into our souls and cause us, Father, to lead as we ought and to be led as we ought for the glory of Christ. Amen.